sermon to Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, all FM 94.7.
A happy funeral. Well, it sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? As if somehow those two words simply can't coexist. But today on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to the deathbed of King Uzziah, where we'll sense the relief and joy his family feels as he enters God's presence. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and find your seat. And while you do that, let's hear from a couple of our fellow Bible bus passengers. First, we hear from Elizabeth in Ohio.
My name is Elizabeth Branson, and I live in London, Ohio, and I hear Dr. McGee's Through the Bible on WRFD AM 880 in Columbus, Ohio. I've been with Dr. McGee for over 20 years, and I've read the Bible through myself many times, but Dr. McGee just brings new truths and light to the Scriptures each morning. Each book of the Bible in the New Testament and Old Testament just comes alive with Dr. McGee's teaching. I live in a log cabin out in the country alone. I'm 76 years old. I don't have a lot of modern technology, but I recently purchased a smartphone, and that was quite a challenge, but I was able to, by pushing a lot of different buttons, I was able to join the World Prayer Team. So every morning I'm able to join in with prayer time for the prayer team. And I'm so thankful to be on the Bible bus. And I just want to thank all of you there for your faithfulness to the Lord and to teaching His Word. Keep on keeping on. Blessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you again. Goodbye.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for being part of the World Prayer Team, Elizabeth. And next we hear from a listener in Auburn Hills, Michigan.
My name is Susie Hunt, and I listen to Through the Bible on WMUZ. I live in Auburn Hills, Michigan. And the question was, if you had to pick just one thing you've learned on the Bible bus, what would it be? And I'd have to say it definitely would be discipline. I look forward to listening to Through the Bible every day, and it's taught me to go deeper in the Word for a better understanding. Thank you for having it on the air. I love it. God bless you all, and have a blessed day.
Well, thanks for contacting us, Stevie. It's great to hear from you. So what are you learning as we study God's Word together? You know, we'd love to hear your story. You can email it to BibleBus@ttb.org or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Or leave us a comment on our Facebook page. It's so great to hear from you. Please share your story with us today. Let's pray as we open God's Word together. Lord, thank you for loving us, for providing for us. Thank you for your Word. Bless it now as the teaching goes out today, and may we gain wisdom and knowledge as your Spirit speaks to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're studying 2 Chronicles 26 today on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we are in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and we're at verse 6. We were talking about Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he came to the throne at the death of his father Amaziah, and he reigned a long time, 52 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We're told in verse 4, according to all that his father Amaziah did. However, very candidly, I was not very much impressed by his father Amaziah, but Uzziah was a good king, and that was unusual for the kingdoms. In fact, in the northern kingdom, there was never a good king, not a one. And in the southern kingdom, there were very few. There were about five of them that could be considered exceptional, because during their reign, there came in the great revival and reformation. Now, Uzziah's reign didn't produce revival, but he was a good king. He was not a bad king. I think I told you before that in the college I went to, which was quite liberal, they had a Bible course. It was very fragmentary, but one of the questions that apparently had been asked from time immemorial, from the very founding of the school, was to name the kings of Israel and Judah and briefly describe the reign of each. Some ingenious freshman in days gone by have discovered that if you write after each one of them a bad king, you can't make less than 95%. And who in the world that is any freshman would want to make more than 95%? So the thing that we did, we just memorized the kings and we wrote after them, bad king, bad king. Now you'd be wrong when you wrote that after Uzziah, because Uzziah was a good king. Nothing exceptional, but a good king. And he did several things here that are quite interesting, and I want to call your attention to them. In verse 6, we're told, he went forth and warred against the Philistines. He brake down the wall of Gath. And you remember that was one of the strongholds of the Philistines. And the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. I was in Ashdod some time ago, and it's experiencing a tremendous business boom today. You see, they've made a harbor there. There's actually only one harbor along that coast, and that was up the way, but none here. And in the old days, the ancient ships could come in at Caesarea, but they couldn't come in here. But now there's a wonderful harbor there. It's a man-made harbor, and it's receiving, I suppose, more of the goods that are being shipped in and out than any other place in Israel. And it's the place where the oil pipeline comes from over the Red Sea, and then it's piped and then put back in tankers and carried from there. And they're just building everywhere there. Well, that entire area is what this man Uzziah took. And not only the Philistines, all that was Philistine country, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, that's verse 8. And his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and in the valley gate and the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert and he digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Now, this man was quite a remarkable ruler. He was a man that was at heart a farmer and also a rancher. And down in that area from Ashdod and Ashkelon and Gath all the way down to Beersheba is great pasture lands, is today. Great place for raising cattle and sheep, and that's what he did. And then on up toward Carmel, you'll get in the valley of Esdraelon, and that's a great fruit country, especially grapes. And he went into that. And we're told he loved husbandry. He loved this type of thing. In verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their count by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Now he was a tremendous general, by the way, a man that was gifted in warfare. And we find, verse 13, under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500. And this man was very successful as a general. And we read verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Now, notice, in ancient warfare, they made certain kinds of machines whereby they could hurl rock, and also that they could fix bows and arrows without being pulled by human power. They would be able to build a bow tremendous size and reach a tremendous distance. Now, who started all that? Notice verse 15. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now this man, Uzziah, was responsible for that. A type of new method of warfare, by the way. Then we notice here, he does something. And have you noticed that all of these kings, even the good ones, there was always a chink in their armor. There was the Achilles heel. There's always the weakness. That is man today. I don't care what man he is, there is a weak spot. Now notice what he did here, verse 16. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And sometimes success is the worst thing that can happen to any of us because we're lifted up with pride. Now notice what he did. I'm still reading in verse 16. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now somebody says, isn't that all right? No, it was all wrong for him. Why? And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. In other words, the priests could actually resist the king in this matter because the king is usurping the priest's office and doing what was strictly forbidden except the sons of Aaron. And as far as incense was concerned, only the priests, the sons of Aaron, only they ministered in the holy place, especially at the altar of incense and the golden lampstand. And Aaron himself took care of the golden lampstand, and that became the prerogative of the high priest from that day on. Now notice what happened to this man, verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, that is, a separate house, so he wouldn't have contact with others, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah. First and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. And by the way, when we get to the prophecy of Isaiah, we're going to find out he goes over this ground, and we find that he began his ministry at the death of Uzziah. Now let me read that, verse 23. So Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings, for they said, he's a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Now let's look here for just a moment at this man and his funeral. This is a happy funeral, if you please. There is an expression that's used today, drop dead, you know. Well, that's what happened to this man. And someone was telling me that saw a card that was gotten out by someone connected with the International Casket Company. And whoever it was had his name, he was a salesman. And down at the bottom it said, drop dead. Well, that, my friend, that is a sick form of humor, I would say, but I can't help but smile at it. Now, for a Christian, death actually should have no dread. You could say, O death, where is thy sting? And You remember Paul could say to the Thessalonians, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as those that have no hope. Now, as we said last time, funerals are not always sad as they seem. I never indulge in cheap sentiment, and I never major in deathbed stories, as you well know. But because I found out in my ministry that death is not always a tragedy in a home. I had an experience when I was a very young preacher. I had the funeral with the former pastor of the church. He'd been a very wonderful friend, been like a father to me. And he never would take a funeral unless they would ask me to have part. And we were having the funeral one day of a wife, and I noticed the husband showed no emotion whatsoever. And out at the cemetery, why, he didn't show any. I had the committal, and I made a few remarks as a young preacher that were rather sentimental, I guess. Then we rode back in the funeral car with this retired preacher and myself, with this man now that's lost his wife, and nobody said anything. And I wondered why this former preacher didn't say something, because he knew the man well. And finally, that man just seemed to well up with emotion, and he said, turning to this preacher, and he called him by name, and he said, Dr. So-and-so, I know you'll understand, but I thank God I buried that woman. And I want to tell you, for a young preacher, that was about the most shocking thing I'd ever heard in my life. I don't know if I've heard anything more shocking since then. And I couldn't say a word. I didn't know what to say. And this former preacher said, I understand, and that is it. I never said any more from then on. And then afterward, the former preacher told me, he said, you know, you don't know what that man has gone through in his life. He said that woman was a terror, and she made his life miserable. And there was no love between them at all. That had ceased long, long ago. And he said that actually, the death of that woman was no sorrow to that man whatsoever. So I've learned that sometimes a funeral is a joyful occasion, not always a sad thing. Now, the funeral of Uzziah was not sad. Why? He was a leper. And he'd been a good king, and God had recorded his sin. He intruded into the priest's office. That was the spot on the apple. That was the nature of his sin, presumption. This very day, some people have sinned, actually, and go into church. They presume. There's an attempt made today to approach God by man's way and not by God's way. And God told his people, you come my way. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, he tried to come in his way, and he was made a leper. Now, that was an awful disease. And it was an awful disease physically. It was an awful disease psychologically. It was an awful disease any way you think of it, and entailed a great deal of suffering. And death for him was a sweet release. And he was God's man. In spite of his sin, he was judged down here for that. Remember, Paul said to the believers, said, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. He went to paradise in that day. There are multitudes of believers listening to me today, helpless and hopeless in a frail and feeble body. And one of these days, why, there will be a sweet release for them. And what a joyful thing it's going to be for them to go into the presence of the King. That'll be a wonderful thing, friends. There's nothing to sorrow about in a case like that. And that was the death of Uzziah the king. And Jotham, I think he was dry-eyed at the funeral. I'm sure he loved his father, but he knew what it meant. He knew that he was a saved man. To go and be with Christ is far better. Now let me read verse 1 of chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Now there's something here about this man. It's quite interesting. He was a good king. Now we've had three good ones right in a row, and that is unusual. And he didn't go into the temple. Now there's a background for it. His father went into the temple and was made a leper, but he went in the wrong way. And this boy Jotham, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but he stayed away from the temple. You can't help but have a sympathy for him, but it set a very bad example for the nation. And as a result, the people did yet corruptly. They didn't turn to God. Here was a man with a tremendous opportunity to lead people back to God. And he had a hang-up. His father was made a leper in the temple, and he didn't want to go in the temple. And there are a great many people today that rest on that type of thing. They are kept away from God's house by prejudice. Oh, the number of folk that I've met that have dropped out of God's service because of prejudice, something that happened years ago or happened to a loved one. I know a young man. He was a young man when I knew him back in the 40s here in Pasadena. He was a son of a great Baptist preacher in Texas. And I got acquainted with this young man. He was really living it up. He and I used to play volleyball together and handball together way back in those days. And I tried to talk with him. And when I did, he said, "Now listen, don't you talk to me about religion. I know as much about it as you do." And then he told me the story of how a bunch of deacons had mistreated his father. And he said, "I never again will darken the door of a church." May I say, I think he's wrong. I told him that. But very candidly, there was a background for it. And that was this boy Jotham here. He had a real background for it. Now, he did certain things. Verse 3, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord. And on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah. And in the forests he built castles and towers. And I'd have you know that that land in that day was wooded. Today the hills are bare for the most part. And they are setting out trees again. But back in the days, that was the land flowing with milk and honey. And this man built castles up among the trees on the hill. He was a great builder, you see. I guess he's the man that started building these subdivisions. Now we find here he fought also with the king of the Ammonites, prevailed against him. He was a good general like his father. Verse 6, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. But he had that hang up, as we've seen. Verse 7, now the rest of the acts of Jotham, all his wars and his ways, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Now here's a young man. Only one chapter is given to his reign. He could have been a great king, but he let a hang-up. He let a prejudice prevent him from being a great king and doing great things for God. This is all that he did. Now, when we come to chapter 28, we follow the reign of Ahaz. Ahaz, who was 20 years old when he began to reign, he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. Well, I think we knew that sooner or later we'd get a bad king, and this is the one. Ahaz was a bad king. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and that meant evil. He burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he burnt his children in the fire. That means that he offered them on a red-hot altar, which actually was an idol that was heated red-hot. Human sacrifices were offered in that day, after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now, Ahaz went completely into idolatry and plunged the southern kingdom into idolatry. Now, we're going to leave off at that particular juncture. And we'll pick up there next time. And until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Next, we'll hear more about the evil acts of Ahaz, and then we'll witness a great revival that comes to Israel during the reign of Ahaz's son, Hezekiah. Until then, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here holding the doors of the Bible bus open as you hop aboard.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible bus all around the world.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa 99.9 FM.
Praise the Lord and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service times starts at 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, who forgiveth all thine iniquity. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in Radio Land. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that those that have tuned in to the broadcast this morning at this hour, I pray that the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ would touch those that are afflicted, those that are troubling their minds and their hearts. Whatever the situations may be, I pray that they be healed in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even though, Lord, I pray for the backslider out there, the one that have turned their way from God. They've been led by another spirit, but Lord, we rebuke those spirits in the name of Jesus. We cancel the assignment of Satan. We render him powerless. He has no power over a child of God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, as you said in your word, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We thank you for that, Father. That is your word, your promise to us. And you said that we are to submit ourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee. He would run as is in terror. And we thank you for your word today. Cover each person with the shed blood of Jesus that took place there on Calvary's cross. We thank you for that also, Father, in the name of Jesus. And give the listeners, those that are born again, give them anointed ears that they would hear your word and a receptive heart to receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, today we want to look at the 103rd Psalm. Praise God. We want to give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory and thank him for everything that he's done. And keep in mind, this is the Psalm of David, giving thanks unto the Lord. He is the one that is able to do all things. Many of us today, we try and take credit of things in our own ability, but I want to tell you today, there's nothing we can do apart from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now in Psalms 103, the Word of God tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Other words, David is saying, well, my soul is going to bless the Lord. Praise God. My soul is going to bless the Lord. And everything that is in me is going to bless the Lord. Praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. God is a forgiving God. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the problems that you are going through, no matter what it is at this moment, God is a forgiving God. And listen to what he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Not some of them, but all. That's wonderful. That's very powerful. He forgives us of our iniquities, and he heals us of all our diseases. God is a healer. He is the only healer. He's the one that will heal you from whatever your situation is today, whatever you may be going through. God will heal you if you can trust in him, if you can believe what he said in his word and take him at his word. He will heal you. And there are times when we all need healing in our bodies, regardless of what's going on in our lives, we need healing. So we approach God and say, Lord, heal me. He will, because he said in Jeremiah 1 verse 11 or 12, I think it's 1 verse 12, he says that he hastened to perform his word. And if he's in a hurry to perform his word, he's watching over his word to perform it. And whatever word that you're using concerning what the master has said, he will bring it to pass. Good God Almighty. So David is saying here, he said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. I'm going to bless him because everything within me is going to bless God. The Lord, because he heals all of our diseases and he forgives us of all our iniquities. Praise God. You know, God is the forgiving God.
Yes, he is.
Why we trust him.
Amen.
And we thank him. See, the devil would tell you, listen, God's not going to do what was said there. You have to put your trust in the Lord. Don't listen to a liar, because the devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. And he was a liar from the beginning, and no truth is in him. So when he comes to tell you something there that's a lie, you believe just the opposite.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's right.
You believe the truth. So, Minister Lloyd, would you read this third verse? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Pastor? These are benefits. That's why it says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Praise God.
This is for a child of God. So
yes,
we
it
are
is.
Supposed to believe this by faith. Amen.
All those benefits. That's good. That's good. Eye-opening there. Because who forgiveth all thy iniquities and who healeth all thy disease. This is a benefit.
This is a benefit.
And we need to lay hold on the benefits of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's benefits are sure.
That's right.
And they are true.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And we hold dearly to them.
Okay.
Praise God.
And verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction.
He's a redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
It says who redeemeth. Well, who redeems us? It's the same who that healeth us.
Amen.
It's the same who that forgiveth us. And David is saying he's using who here a lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord for that, because when we read his word has the final authority. His word, although this is under the old covenant, but I want to tell you today, many people have a certain amount of confusion when they say, oh, well, that's under the old covenant and we have a better covenant. Well, that is true. We have a better covenant. Praise God. If the first covenant was sufficient, there would be no need for the second covenant. But I just want to tell you today, according to what my Bible tells me in Hebrew 13 and verse 8, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did yesterday, he'll do it today.
Amen.
And what he's doing today, he'll do it tomorrow. Praise God. He doesn't change. Malachi 3 and verse 6, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. So God doesn't change. Although we look at the word, and most of us want to try and not so much denounce the Old Testament, but we need the whole counsel of God. We need the whole word of God. We need from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We need all of that. We need the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
But I know that there's certain qualities of the Bible that we must look at and understand, that from the law to grace. But I want to tell you today, the word of God is alive.
Yes.
And it's powerful. I say the word of God. If God spoke it in the past, he's speaking it now. Praise the Lord. That's why we give him thanks and praises. Glory to God. So these benefits, we want to hold dearly to the benefits, all the benefits of God.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now this was written by David, praise God. And listen to what he's saying. He's talking about who's doing all of this. David's not saying that he's doing it. He says it, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who crown thee with tender mercies, loving kindness and tender mercies. This who, we have to keep this who in mind and know who is, praise God. And he's very clear here. So, Minister Glory, would you continue to read that, praise the Lord?
Who satisfied thy mouth with good things.
Oh, my God. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things. Mm-hmm. Good things. That's why we're supposed to be speaking good things because,
amen.
Because God is good.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Good things. He put good things in our hearts.
Yes.
And we therefore speak those good things. I heard that the word says here that I believe and therefore I speak. Well, what are you speaking? We're speaking good things, the goodness of God. Praise God. Goodness of God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Giving us strength. Hallelujah. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. You see, God renews our strength like an eagle. We are not, as a born-again believer, we are not a prairie chicken. We are not picking on the ground, trying to scramble for anything. He renews our strength like an eagle. An eagle soars high. Praise God. I'm talking about he soars high. Matter of fact, his whole character is completely different than a prairie chicken. You see, a prairie chicken or a chicken on the ground, yeah, he's got a straight beak. All he has to do is to peek and pick. That's all he can do. But see, the eagle beak is completely different. The eagle has a curvature-type beak where he's flesh. He can tear. But the chicken with the beak can't do it. He was designed to pick a lower level, to pick things from the earth. But the eagle, what did he say about the eagle?
The eagle, the youth is renewed like the eagles.
Our youth is renewed like an eagle. That yes. Means we soar high, praise God. If you were weak at one point there, God has given you strength.
Hallelujah.
To soar like the eagle.
Praise God.
An eagle is a bird that flies in the heavens. Mm-hmm. He flies high. Praise God. You will find, you know, the difference between a prairie chicken and an eagle. You see, a prairie chicken is designed to stay on the ground. It can't fly anyway.
No.
You're a prairie chicken.
Right.
So what happens is that the eagle has wings to fly, to soar in the wild blue yonder. Glory to God. So God has renewed our strength, the youth, as an eagle. Glory to God.
Praise
Hallelujah. That you and I, we can soar to higher heights in the things of God.
Praise the Lord.
David is saying a lot of things here. We want to capture on some of the benefits that he's saying and the realization of what he has said, because, you know, when David looks at this thing, he's saying, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I mean, everything that David is saying on the inside of me is going to bless the Lord. Praise God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Oh, he forgive us of all of our iniquities. And who healeth all of our diseases? No matter what disease it is, he said the Lord is going to heal all of our diseases. I tell you, that's powerful, Mr. Glory.
That is powerful.
When we look at it. And not only that, he's going to crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Good God Almighty, what I'm talking about here this morning is to lift up the name of Jesus, because that's who he's talking about, the Lord. I said the Lord. Glory to God. Ms. Glory, would you read the next verse?
The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Look at what God will do. When I was looking at this 103rd Psalm, and I was saying to myself, wow, all the benefits that God has given us, and we were walking around, a lot of us are weak and afflicted, some are decrepit, but I want to tell you today that the God that we serve is a loving God, kind God. He wants the best for you all, praise God, that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. But David is looking at this, and he's saying the God that he served and what he would do. He would even crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and he'll heal whatever problems you may have, and he will forgive you of all the circumstances. We have to believe that.
Amen.
We have to believe that. And in it, this is part of a healing scripture, because what's happening is that David is saying, who healeth all thine diseases. He heals. He is a healer. Mm-hmm. Our faith must be in him. Trust in him as the great physician, as the one that will heal us all of our diseases. And what does it say, Minister Gloria?
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
Good God Almighty. He made his ways known unto Moses, and the acts of the unto the children of Israel. But I want to tell you today, we want to look at this, but also we want to thank the Lord for this better covenant that been given to us. Although we're not trying to deny or trying to get away from the old covenant, but the old covenant is just as important as the new covenant. Although the new covenant is a better covenant. But I want to tell you today, if the old covenant is the new covenant revealed unto us all, and we trust the Lord, we depend upon him in everything that he said, and his word is all powerful, his word is alive, and whatever he said, whether through the prophets of old or even unto the ministers and the people today, the word of God is still the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to flip this into this better covenant in that which we have, of course, God is the healer. Amen. He heals all. Jesus is the one that heals all. Jesus is the one that blesses us. Jesus is the one that does the miraculous in all of our lives. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the ascended Lord. Jesus is the risen Savior. Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the anointing of God. Jesus is everything. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why when we look at this new covenant, praise God, and we thank the Lord for who he is, praise God, because Jesus, he is the sanctification. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is all powerful. All power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth and beneath the earth. I want to tell you today, that's why Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God. And this is why we give him all the praise and the honor and the glory.
Amen.
Now unto him, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is who he says he is. And I tell you, when we begin to believe and trust in him, everything excuse me, that he said will be excuse me, will come to pass. Jesus, the Lord Jesus.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
The Lord is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
He is slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, we should be slow to anger.
Yes.
Everything that goes wrong should not get to the point that it would bring us into a state of anger, because God's word is the same. This word is powerful. We are to love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, help one another. Jesus told us in St. John 13 and verse 34, he said, and a new commandment I give unto you, to love one another as I have loved you, love you one to another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one to another. We are to love one another. We are to be long-suffering, just as our Heavenly Father, if His Spirit is long-suffering, we should have and to have the same spirit and be long-suffering one to another. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're to love one another, and we're to forgive one another.
Amen.
We pray for a healing for one another. In James 5, it tells us that we're to pray for the sick that they be healed. Praise God. Pray for one another that they be healed. Glory to God. I want to tell you today that what David was saying there in the 103rd Psalm, we magnify it today, because everything, loving kindness, peace and joy, and everything that was represented then is the same today, because the word of God is alive. Every time we read it, it's alive. Praise God. That's why it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 that the word of God is quick and powerful. In other words, the word of God is alive and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. And if David can say the Lord and everything that's within him is going to bless the Lord, including his soul, I want to tell you, I'm going to say the same thing. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Praise God. I said within me. I'm going to praise his name.
Amen.
I'm going to bless him. Amen. What a mighty God we serve.
Yes, we serve a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that the word says, it has first place. It's the final authority. Glory to God. In all of our lives, when we pray, we come to the Master and we talk to him. He is the one that has the final answer of all problems. No matter what it is that's going on in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ has the last word. Some folks might say, well, listen, I've gotten a bad medical report. The report says that such and such is going to take place. But that's man's decision through his diagnostic. But I want to tell you, we have a great physician.
Praise God.
And his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God, hallelujah. And we listen to what he say. He has never lost a case in terms of defense there in a courtroom. He has never lost a patient in terms of the hospitals and what's going on. He does his work without a scaffold. Man uses a scaffold to carry on surgery. But we serve one that is able. He doesn't need a scaffold. Glory to God. He can do whatever it is that needs to be done. And don't leave a mark on your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's the God that we serve.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And all the ministry glory and all of the benefits
all
that
the
he has magnified and brought to our attention through the revelatory insight of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. He's the one that teaches us, praise God. Listen, you see, David didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Nope, he didn't.
You see, all those prophets of old didn't have, but when God wanted to do something through them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. You see, there's a difference between upon them and in them. You see, we now have the better covenant because the Holy Ghost come and he abides on the inside of us.
Amen.
Praise God. Where we can carry out this work. He's not going to lift and say, well, I'll come back when I need you to do something else. No, he's abiding in us. He's an abiding presence. Praise God. He is the power of Almighty God. Glory to his wonderful name.
Praise God.
Amen. Now, we're going back and forth with what David was saying, because David is the author of the 103rd Psalm, and what is happening is that he's giving thanks unto the Lord. We are giving thanks as well, but our thanks is coming through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise. Lift him up. Mm-hmm. I said lift him up.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Praise God. Lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Continue.
And we thank God. Let's read another verse of scripture before we come to closing comments there. Praise the Lord.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity.
Thank God that he has not dealt with us according to our sins, because if he did, we all would be fanning the flames in hell. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who took away. This is why it's so good that Jesus became a sin offering for us. And thank God that he didn't deal with us according to our sins.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus became a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land that are tuned into the broadcast, the Lord loves you, and the Lord has made preparations for you, not just to debate or argue over what the Old and the New Testament, it's the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. So what we do is that we believe it. I want to ask my wife, Minister Gloria, to extend this invitation. We don't want to close this broadcast without giving you an opportunity. Some may be saved out there, but there are others that have tuned into the broadcast that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Gloria, would you be a blessing and extend this invitation to all out there?
In Romans 10 and 8, I'm going to start at 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now open up your hearts and receive Jesus in your heart, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. We thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. We ask that the blessings of the Lord be upon you until next broadcast. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out. Serving